When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to Live Boldly with Sarah, a guide through trauma, personal healing, growth, and discovery leading to the ultimate life of joy, mental wellness, and less fear. As a single mother, certified coach in transitional change and adventure, I will share my personal traumas and help you with steps to be free of whatever internal or external chains are keeping you from enjoying this life. My guests and I go beyond the typical conversation as they share their inspirational journeys, and every other week, I bring you my solo episodes where I highlight issues or ahas that I know you are going through too. From relationships, aspirations that have seemed impossible, motherhood, friendships, work, transitions, inertia, depression, my wish is this forum can help you through all of this and more. My mission is to create a supportive community and connection that empowers each one of you to love yourself and believe your right to live boldly.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Live Boldly with Sarah. And I have Sylvia on again today. I'm so excited.
Hello.
Live from Geneva, right?
Like this. Yes, is so exciting. From Switzerland. Yes. Oh,
so good. So we have been talking, first of all, let me kind of like stop for a second. For those of you listening, if you have not gone back and listened to the other episodes that Sylvia and I have done together, please go do so, because they are incredible episodes, so many downloads. People love love listening to you. They love conversations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so please go back and listen to them. And thank you for coming back on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I love our chemistry. I love how we just kind of get in the flow. And I just really love what you're all about. So for me, it's so easy to be here, and you bring out the best in people. So thank you.
Thank you. It's so exciting to hear that. Thank you. So let's dive in. I want everyone to, like we always do, the way that I do these podcasts is I jam with my team a little bit, and I'm like,
right,
what do you think is the best thing that our listeners would want to hear right now? Where are they at? Where's society at? What do people need and want and desire? And one of the things that I'm noticing as well in my life, as much as I am in my clients' lives,
right,
is this whole in limbo, quote, in limbo space, right? I know. Can we just like take a pause and a breath? I'm in it. I just told you that this last weekend, I have an aversion to letting go. I don't like letting go. It's one of those things that for me, for some reason, I have associated in my life, letting go equals failure. Ouch. When in reality, letting go is not failure at all. It's growth, and it's allowing yourself to step into that next space that we are intended. And it's not. So when I say that, and I'm sure many people can probably relate to this, when I say that, for me, what I've realized that letting go and that equal to failure has been about the human ego, right? It hasn't been about what I really know as a spiritual being, or as a being who is on this personal growth journey. It's my past ego telling me that, right, letting go to failure, like letting go of my marriage, letting go of my home, letting go of all the things that I thought it was going to be. When in reality, the spiritual growth, personal growth, businesswoman, all the things mompreneur knows that in order to step into that next space of growth, we have to let go of the things that were at one time our growth space. Make sense?
Yeah.
That was
absolutely
at one time my growth space.
Yeah.
So where I'm at and where you're at, like for me right now, what we just discussed was I'm setting aside running these retreats for a while. I have my very last one in June, which I'm excited, so excited about. And then I'm running one in July with Florence Williams. So excited about that. That one I'll keep.
Wow. Yeah.
I, though, know, and I was just contacting or messaging a client from my very last retreat, and I wanted to, like, bring this all up. This is going to come full circle with your, where you're at as well. And she and I were just texting, and I told her, I said, you know, this next June retreat, I'm realizing that this is going to be my pause after this.
Mm.
And I'm going to put these on the shelf. I'm not saying that I'm completely done with them. What I am saying is that I don't know if I will bring them back or when I will bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
I have loved them. They have been my growth mechanism. They have allowed mm-hmm. me to step into the space of mompreneur and all the things that I have loved. That mm-hmm. was my next space of growth. And as she said to me, Sarah, and oh my God, thank you, Susie. Like it hit home. She said, you are something about going on to a bigger stage.
Yeah.
And she had bigger stage or something like that in the text. And I was like, oh my gosh, my clients see it too. Right. Like
yeah.
What you're doing and where we're going to be talking about today,
you're right.
Modeling for our clients that letting go of once what was right. That was our growth. Also at one time, that was our growth. That allows us to step into that next space of growth as well. And that limbo space, ouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
It's hard because I think also when you're in limbo, you're confronted with the unknown and uncertainty. And often we try to make the uncertainty something different. We want to predict, we want to be reassured, we want, you know, some kind of, I don't know, trailer to what's next. And it's really hard because when you're in limbo, you are in a place of unknown as well. And I think also the timing part. For me, a big part of limbo that is the most difficult for me to embrace is letting go of the timeline.
Oh, yeah. Patient.
Because everybody's timeline looks different. Some people, let's say when it comes to a book deal, they can get a book deal within 3-4 months of having a literary agent. Some can't even get a literary agent and they're like still working. Some people, then they do self-publishing but it's just, you know, I think really letting go of the timeline and comparing your timeline to others is a challenge when you're in limbo.
100% agree with you. I know that from my own dating space. Let's just, without me giving you any information on that right now, I will tell you that because that's just close to my heart. And it is really interesting because the universe will continue to hand you what it is that you need in order to grow into that next space, including knocking on your heart, your head, your intuition and saying, hey, like it's time, right? It's time.
Yeah.
And the universe can't create that magic until you also give it permission to create that magic with you.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So June is my very last Grand Canyon retreat for a while. It's filling up right now. I'm super excited about it. I'll be taking 8 people down. I'm still not even sure who they all are yet. So if anybody's interested, jam it out now. Yeah. Now it is. It's your time. And I think it's important when you're in limbo to also celebrate the growth that took you to that space to actually become in limbo again.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So profound. For me, I think right now I'm in limbo in Geneva and I felt like I was finally in this place of growth that I had been dreaming about and wanting for so long in my career as a therapist. So, you know, the year before I left, I was being invited to speak professionally at hospitals. I was getting paid nice paychecks. I felt like the podcasts were flowing. I was getting invited to lead workshops in retreats. I did a couple with Heather Thompson. I had a full private practice, over 30 clients. I was like, this is it. This is what I've been waiting and hoping for. It's like, it's finally come to fruition. I felt so good. And then my husband's like, guess what? I have an opportunity to move to Switzerland for us to move back. I'm like, well, move back. I mean, you're moving back, but that means I'm leaving home. And at first I was very excited for him, but towards the end, the last 2 months, or actually I would say 3 months before we moved last July, July 25th of 2023. And basically March to July, I started to really grieve and cry like, no, I have to let go of something that took me so long to build. And I really only had just like a year of that like success. Because building a private practice, you know, whether you're a therapist or a coach or, you know, a mompreneur, takes time, it takes grit, it takes relationship building, you know, to finally get it to that, you know, volume or oomph that you want.
Just thinking, oomph. I was just thinking how alive we are. I should have said oomph at the same time.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. And so it was just like, wait, that's it? Like, I was just at the good. I describe it like I'm watching a movie and I'm like so into it. It's like the best scene and someone just unplugs the television.
Ouch.
And it's like black screen. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And nobody's plugged it right back in yet. And I'm like, you know, so I'm still seeing my US clients virtually, you know, but I went down from 30 to 15 clients, which is still, I mean, for part-time, it's okay. I'm looking for offices here in Geneva. I'm going to hopefully be sharing an office with another therapist in Geneva, but we haven't found the right office. We applied for one. We got rejected. We're looking at another one. May not be the right fit. I'm in a Regis corporate office right now, just kind of like, okay, I'm kind of creating the space universe. Like, you know, I had one client that was interested in working with me, but she hasn't booked a session yet in Geneva. So I'm in this limbo, like, when am I going to get started here? I'm still nurturing my clientele in Florida and then some of my coaching clients in other states. But it's just like, okay, you know, everyone told me, oh, once you move to Geneva, you're going to be so busy. You're going to be fully booked because everyone, you know, is looking for an English speaking American therapist. Hasn't happened yet. So I'm like, what am I doing wrong, universe? And I also, you know, I have with this extra time, I'm thinking, well, the book proposal should be, you know, refined. I should have the online course already going. And now I kind of got detoured into creating video content. So I invested in some equipment, some lighting and all of that. I thought, okay, I'm going to create my YouTube channel and I'm going to, you know, put my online course to the YouTube and build the content. And I just feel like I'm kind of still chasing my tail. Like it hasn't like built to something that feels like what it was before I left. So I definitely, yeah, feel like I'm in limbo and frustrated. Like, I guess like, did I do something wrong? Did I make a mistake? Self-doubt comes in. Yet there is this wise voice that comes in and says, you're exactly where you need to be. And as we mentioned earlier, I started journaling really for the first time. So I'm 44, about to be 45 this year. And I've never really had a journal practice because I think I wouldn't call it traumatic, but let's say a defining moment where I had a stepmom read one of my journals and then she punished me for what was written in it. And then I actually had an ex-boyfriend who read one of my journals and he got so upset about the things that he read and got jealous. So she's like, you know what? I'm just not going to use a journal because somebody eventually is going to read it.
Yeah.
So this year in January of 2024, I said, all right, I'm going to do it. And I was actually inspired by a therapist at LMFT, Kristen Boyce. She has a podcast titled, I think it's called Close the Chapter. Phenomenal podcast. So if you're interested in all the like mental health topics and you really want to learn more from other therapists and professionals and really gain more tools in your toolbox, Kristen Boyce, Close the Chapter is an amazing podcast. So she was saying on one of her podcasts for the beginning of the year that her intention was to start journaling. And she had a couple of journal prompts that she suggested. And, you know, I'd mentioned to you before we started recording, I was a little embarrassed to like say this on the podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. One of her prompts were, you know, God, what would you like me to know today? Or God, you know, what wisdom do you have for me? And I thought, okay, let me do it. Because I've done like universe, you know, or higher self. I thought, you know what? Let me use the word God. I have never in my life filled a journal from front page to back page in less than a month. I didn't even make it to February. It's like January 24th to, I think my last day here was, hold on. Actually, no, I didn't wait. I did make it to February. Yeah. So, you know, 2 months here, one and a half months of pages filled. So I think anyone who's listening that is in limbo, creating space and making time to journal. It can be just for 1 minute in the morning when you have your coffee. It could be 3 minutes. Just make the time as small as possible because that will help you with the aversion and resistance to it. Say for 1 minute or just one page or three sentences. Starting that practice will help not only, I think, provide you a different wisdom, or it will, I think, provide you a different connection to yourself and a voice within you. But I think it will also provide you a different perspective, because sometimes when we're in limbo, our perspectives can get very narrow. Our perspectives can become scarcity based or scarcity minded. We could fall into the acronym of fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And so when we're in that limbo, we could start to have cognitive distortions. We have catastrophic thinking, minimizing, maximizing, whatever your flavor of cognitive distortion is. And then when you start practicing those thoughts in limbo, the more you practice the thoughts, the more you believe them, the more you believe them, the more you act like them, the more you act like them, you become them. And then it turns limbo into something that is a lot harder. So having a journal practice and tapping into a wise voice within you, whatever prompt you want to say, higher self, God, universe, just whatever it is, I think it could definitely also ground you in a state that sometimes feels so disorienting.
Wow. So what did you find? What was the most surprising thing you found? And would you be able to read it?
Oh, yes. I will tell you what was surprising, and I'll definitely read a page or two. So just to give you context, so January 25th of 2023, we moved to Geneva, Switzerland. So we packed up everything, put it into a cargo container. And my husband and I, we each took 3 suitcases. My son had 3 as well. We moved to Geneva. So we were living in an apartment that was partially furnished from like rental furniture. And then after 3 months, our stuff came in. So in the beginning, it was really hard, especially November, December. It's very rainy here. The skies are gray. There's, these clouds that just kind of hover over. And I think Geneva only gets 83 days of sun throughout the whole year. And I had just moved from Miami Beach. So it was really hard on my mental health. I didn't realize how much not having, direct sunlight was going to impact me. So I kind of had an inkling before around November. I said, I better book a trip to Miami in February, because that's when I'm going to be so fed up with the cold and the rain. I'm going to need to see sun. So they have a week called Ski Week here in Switzerland. So kids, they either go up to the mountains or they go somewhere to see sun. So we went to Miami, my son and I, and we saw all of his friends. I saw all of my friends. I even saw old clients in my old office. It was like I was reliving my old life all over again. I even stayed in a hotel that was in my old neighborhood. I felt so at home. I felt connected to my community. I felt like myself again in my body with the humidity and the warm air and the beach. I was meditating in the mornings. It was just amazing. And I said, that's it. I'm moving back. Yes, Switzerland's nice, but that's it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to tell my husband, we got to move back to Miami. I'm done with this. And I came back and I was a total mess. I was crying. I was sad. I said, I don't want to be here in Geneva. It's just too much. It's too gray, blah, 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 blah. And my husband's like, okay, well, I guess maybe I could talk to my boss, see if there's a position that I could go back to. But he goes, I just don't think going backwards is the right thing. I don't feel it. He's like, I feel like, we got to keep moving forward. He goes, I feel like we're like a little kid's toy car. You wind the car backwards and it looks like it's going back. He goes, but you just got to wait. And when you let it go, it's going to be further along than the other car. And I was like, oh. Okay, it's a great metaphor, but I'm in my ego and I'm in my comfort zone of what I want. I'm comforted by the sun and Miami and the Latin spicy culture. So it was a really tough 2 weeks, because I just fell into the depths of like grief and depression. And I was like, ugh. So then I said, okay, let me start journaling. Let me, really see. And so the thing that surprised me about the journaling is I was like, okay, I'm going to connect to my heart. And of course, the journal is going to tell me, follow your heart and go back to Miami. It did not say that. And I was really surprised, because, as I was like, God, what do you want me to know? And it was just like this wisdom that just flowed through me and was giving me clear direction, like, you need to be where you are. So let me try to think. I came back from Miami. Must have been
that metaphor of the car.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
What? That is so good.
Yeah.
I used to love those cars.
Yeah.
And you know, they make that noise.
Yeah.
And it just like shoots off. Oh, that is so good.
Which going back to your metaphor earlier, like, you know, that process of letting go, if you don't let it go.
Yeah.
The car doesn't get to move forward. It stays stuck. And I think that's what often people don't realize is when they're feeling stuck, there's something that they're still holding on to that they're not, their ego is not willing to let go of, or it's something so unfamiliar, they're just holding on to what they know, even if it takes all their energy and it, even if it hurts. Let's see, I'm trying to think here.
This is why I love having you on, because it's so relatable to so many people.
Yeah.
I don't know one person in my own life that hasn't felt that or doesn't feel that.
Oh, well, here. So I opened a February 25th, 2024. I said, God, what is your perspective on my desire to move back to Miami? And then this was, for me, this was the most fascinating part about this process. I feel in my head, in my voice, as Sylvia, when I ask God the question. And then when I pause and I just open myself up for the wisdom to come in, I feel this whole other energy and I just start writing really fast. So that also was very surprising in how much would come out. So this was the wisdom I got. Take a deep breath, my dear. Get still. What is it that you want? Peace, tranquility, or chaos and noise? You are creating such disturbances in your mind and heart that are unnecessary. Take time to truly reflect on your values, your core values, peace, nature, love, understanding, togetherness. This move will take you time to adjust. It's not easy, yet it will be fruitful. Focus on your videos, get your word out there. One video a week, stay connected to your clients. The rest will unfold and come to you. Support your husband, support his efforts and dream. Be a good, dutiful wife and mother. We will reward you. We will reward you. And that was it. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I said, God, what is your opinion of Massey asking to work in Miami again? And this is what I was surprised, because it said, it is not for him. He has outgrown that role. There are bigger and better opportunities that lie ahead. You are being impatient and intolerable to the pain that comes with growth. Be steadfast, honest, and truthful to your values and goals. Peace, love, harmony, family, health, well-being. Become a global therapist. Tap into the World Health Organization. I will connect you to a person studying and researching loneliness. This is a chapter of shedding and growth. This is a time for introspection and renewal for you. Take the leap of faith and see what's in store for you.
Wow.
I was like, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, go back to Miami.
Wow.
Yes, I was like,
okay, so. Thank you, because I kind of needed to hear that today, too. Okay, not even kind of. I needed to hear that today, too. Those words.
Ah.
Isn't that fascinating with how we as humans want to see something? Like, that's what we want. We want what our ego, right? What our human ego is like, well, no, just do this. That's the easy way.
Yeah.
It's the easy way. Yeah. Go back to what you knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I was speaking to Karen and I said, you know, Karen, even for the atheist or agnostics or, you know, whatever, even if it's not God, to be able to tap into a voice that's available to you within you. So if that voice is coming from me, a wiser part of myself, just the practice of being open, even though I'm a little resistant to it, but being open to hearing it, I'm like, wow. Okay. It's not what I wanted to hear, but there's wisdom there. And if I have that tool available to me, why not use it? Because if we continue to follow our ego, I feel like in a way it's kind of just like a spoiled kid who who, even though you might think you're, you know, the spoiled kid is getting what they want, but what they want is not good for them sometimes, you know, it doesn't really right. provide growth of character or understanding or, and you, I think in a way, let's go back to the, just the word spoil. I think just also like spoiling the fruits that are within you or spoiling, I don't know, the growth that could be within you. It, instead of a growth stunt, it could be, you know, it's like a, yeah, it is. Like, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no,
when, yeah, you can stunt your growth when you fall too much, you know, into the ego or you take the easier path. And I'm not saying always, it not, you know, not all of life has to be so hard, but I do think that when you can tap into this wiser voice within you, I think it just, it unfolds this whole other knowledge and understanding of your existence or growth or beingness. I don't know what I'm saying, but
well, no, I totally understand what you're saying. For those that don't know, Karen is, she helps me produce this podcast. So that's, and she talks to you before you come on.
Right.
That's how we do this. So I was driving home from Stockton, of course, last night, watching my son play water polo for 5 hours. I was in the car last evening. And so I put in, I love podcasts. So I
yes.
put in Robin's podcast. And she had on, and I'm going to have to look it up, and it's her latest one. I don't know if you listen to her podcast or not.
I do. I love her.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Let me see if I can actually even find it, because I did send it to a bunch of people. And one of the things that she was talking about, this the woman that she had on, was our intuition and how our intuition, which fascinates me. And I'm so fascinated by the intuition, because it is something that
right.
I learned to tap into through my life, especially over the last 10 years. Because
yeah.
if I look back on my life and I go to those moments when I questioned things in my life, my intuition was spot on. It was my ego that got in the way, that wanted to listen to everybody else, but that intuition within myself. And what yeah. she was saying, and I'll have to find exactly who it was, what she was saying was, and I'm sure I'm going to mess this up a little bit, but, and your intuition, many times it's, you have this timeline in your life, right? Where you have all
right.
these experiences and you can't remember every single thing that you lived through, or that those moments of every single day. Your brain just doesn't have the capacity to do that.
Right.
However, where it goes is into our brain, into our limbic system, pushed way far down. That I do remember. It was in the limbic system, pushed way far down. And so those memories are still in there. It's that we don't have the ability to access them at all times of the day, because you're also having the present moment. And
absolutely.
So what you're doing with your intuition is you're literally going back down into the limbic system, into that part of the brain where those memories are stored. And that's actually our intuition, where it's pushed so far down into our gut, almost like it's in our gut, because our gut brain is attached to our limbic system, our actual brain.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And I wrote about that in my book. So I'm sitting there listening to this podcast going, what the hey, like I wrote about that in my book, and how
yeah.
we have our gut brain, and our gut brain, or where intuition lies, is literally connected to the limbic system part of our brain. So
absolutely.
When we have these memories and these experiences, it's pushed so far down. How I visualize it, it's almost like down into our body, all the way down into our gut. And so when we are accessing our intuition, it's literally the gut brain where those memories were stored in our limbic system. Make sense?
Absolutely. So yes.
Intuition is your brain.
Yes. Yes.
Literally a part of our brain. And
yes,
so that's what I'm hearing, even from like this journal prompting, what you're doing is you're tapping into that part of you, that wisdom, that literally God, right, is literally saying, yeah. hey, you have this wisdom. I'm simply the voice to almost like remind you also, you have this wisdom, you have this ability to become more global. And I'm here to support and love you through that process.
What did your friend also tell you about your bigger stage?
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know. And you know, and I think that here's the question that I have for you, Sylvia. Why do we fight this?
This is what's conditioned? Is what is familiar?
What is this? Like, do we enjoy the fight? Like, what is it?
You know, sometimes I think there's a part of me that's been so conditioned that if I don't work hard, right? If something's not hard, it's not earned.
Oh.
And I think that's part of maybe the fight. It's like, well, if it's not hard, I haven't earned it.
Right.
And it's like, we were born worthy. We were born already with this. It's like, we don't have to fight for it or resist it or work so hard to show that we earned it.
That resonated with me. Yeah.
Are you looking to bring a little more happiness into your life or want to learn how to step outside your comfort zone? Guess what? Our digital downloadable programs are only $39 just for a limited time. Go grab Unstuck and Free, How to Live Outside Your Comfort Zone, filmed in the mountains of Southern California, Mount Baldy to be exact, my favorite mountain. Or go grab 7 Steps to Happiness. This is filmed on the High Sierra Loop in Yosemite National Park. Incredible, incredible visuals. These programs will take you to that next step and rise you into living your best life. Use the coupon code LIVEBOLDLY at checkout, LIVEBOLDLY. Go grab them, sarahshultoncranz.com, underneath more and digital programs.
So go listen to this last podcast episode from the Dr. Tara Swart Bieber.
Okay.
Dr. Tara, I believe it's Tara Swart Bieber. Amazing.
I will.
Her latest one. And it really was, she's a neuroscientist. And again, like if I messed up some of what she said, just bear with me because I was also driving on the 5 while I was listening to it. It was a little dark out. So talking to myself.
I've also heard them talk about the 3 brains. It's the gut, the heart,
it is,
and the brain, where the when you study the heart, the neurons and everything, it's like a brain. So we have 3 brains and they're all connected.
We
the
do.
Gut, the heart, and the cerebral brain is all connected.
Yeah.
I think we live in a world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. We live in a world
where I think that there are so many things competing for our attention that often create a disconnect from those 3 brains.
Wow. Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
So you had this incredible journaling session, which here's what's also funny. I don't watch TV. I don't watch movies or TV, but I was in the only time that I watch TV is when I'm in a hotel. Cause I don't even know how to, I have a TV. Yeah. I don't even know how to turn it on. Like that's how funny this is. So I was turned on the TV yesterday before I hit my son's water polo match. And something Jones's diary. What is that?
Bridget Jones's diary.
Yeah. And it was at the end, the only thing that came on, I'd never seen it. The only part that I watched was where he walked in and he read her diary. And she wrote about like, I didn't even watch the movie. This is the only part I saw where he wrote he read what she had wrote about him not being a nice man or whatever. And then he left and he went and he bought her a new diary and she's running down the street in her underwear, which is what I feel like I'm doing sometimes. You know? Yes. Thinking it's one way and all of a sudden he walks out with the diary and he's like, no, I actually just wanted to buy you a new diary because we're starting this new chapter.
Wow.
So there you go. There you go. So metaphorical.
Yep. And I think the limbo phase is often right before a new chapter begins.
Where you feel like you're running down the street in your underwear.
In your underwear. Thinking one thing when it's something else.
Yep. Oh my goodness. That's so funny. Oh, it's so funny. So where are you? So tell me about what were the things that came from this amazing journaling that you went through, and where are you at with this in limbo piece?
Yeah. I think I vacillate between fighting it, right? Fighting the limbo, creating chaos and disturbances in my head. Because I think, you know, going back to the idea of, like worth and all of that. I think a part of my career, my success is like, well, I'm only as worthy as how many clients I have, or I'm only as worthy as, you know, how much money is coming in, you know, or I'm only as worthy as my status, et cetera, and all of that bullshit. And so I think there's a part of me that because it looks different now, I'm like, oh, am I, you know, not as successful? Am I, you know, losing time and money and am I going backwards, et cetera. But then the other part, I find myself letting go and letting go of what like my expectations are and just allowing myself to really like enjoy what's coming up. Like, so for example, something as little as this today. So my son had an orthodontist appointment at 3:30. Then after his appointment was 4, I said, what would you like to do? I don't have clients because usually I have a client at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And then our podcast was 8 o'clock this time. So I had this window. And so I gave him 3 options. And I said, so what is your gut feel? Because I'm also trying to teach him about his intuition. I said, what is your gut feel? Does both your gut, your belly and your mind say we should go back home? Or do you want to go have a boba tea? You want to go somewhere and see some sun? So anyways, he picked boba tea and tacos. I was like, okay, let's go. And so I love doing new things with him. So we do the boba tea first, which for me is like not the greatest because you're having sugar first right before you eat, you know, salty stuff. I'm like, this is what he picked. Let's follow his pattern, you know, giving him some autonomy and some agency. So then we ordered the tacos and we're sitting in this little like food hall. We're sharing the tacos and I just grabbed his hand and I said, I love doing new things like this with you. And he was like, me too, mommy. And then we were just talking about some, and it was just that moment where I'm thinking, I am totally enjoying eating these chicken tacos, looking, you know, at people walking down below us because we were by a window. He had an Oreo boba tea. I had a matcha tea. You know, we were comparing the flavors and just these simple little things of enjoying the moment, not feeling pressured or valued by a certain number or outcome. And I was just like, it's this surrendering to these moments where we can connect on boba and tacos. And yeah, like that, this is it. And thinking like, well, if I had a full, you know, list of clients booked, that it's this old energy that he knows me also for is mommy's busy. I've got my clients, be quiet, you know? And so I think when I can embrace these moments and just understand it's not always about doing or creating and all of that. There needs to be these times between where it's boba and tacos or, you know, going to the dog park. And I think the same thing, even just, you know, we're living in a world where everything's all about like content creation, podcasts, books, you know, courses, sell this, the funnel, many chats, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you know, sometimes I scroll through social media. I'm like, are we all just these walking like advertising agencies? Like we're just selling. And I'm like, oh, some of us are selling our souls and our energy. And it's just like, no. Like you just want to throw your phone and say, okay, I cannot forget this whole other part of me that has nothing to do with content creation or Instagram or all that, you know, this part of my energy it's an energy that also needs its time. And limbo might be what we actually need to recharge, to not always be in that output mode. And so maybe it is that struggle. It's like, well, this is not what I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, exporting and outputting and creating and blah, blah, blah. So maybe limbo is actually also a self-preservation mechanism too.
I could not agree with you more, because that's actually a part of what I was thinking about this weekend too, as I watched my son. It's exactly what I was thinking. There's so much noise in the world.
So much.
And I don't want to contribute to the noise. And so as I'm even going through this rebrand myself in limbo, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how do I not contribute to the noise? And how do I actually say more many times in silence than I do contributing to the noise? Because there's just so much of it. And at the same time, one of my son's water polo if he's out there listening, you know who you are. One of my son's water polo teammates came up to me and he's like, I love listening to your podcast. And I love,
that's amazing.
I know, isn't it great? And I'm almost done with your book. And I like everything that you're talking about. I love it. And at the same time, it's like, how do we create more space in this world for intentional, really true, intentional, educational, needed speaking, right?
Yeah.
Needed words instead of the noise that comes with so much of what people are saying.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing it now.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here to contribute to that, right? Because I really do struggle with it. I was talking to my old therapist, my former coach. Mm. She comes on every once in a while and we coach people on here together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really fun. Just 15-minute jam sessions. Yeah. Bring somebody in and let's do a quick coach. And she and I were talking about it. And I said, what do you think is the, I asked her, I said, what do you think is one of the biggest issues that we have today? And she, and I knew what she was going to say, but I just wanted to hear it from her too. Yeah. And she said, it's the problem that people are scrolling for therapy. They're scrolling for coaching. They're scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is. And they're going to find what they want to hear. And that's not always what they need.
Mm. Yeah.
So a good therapist like you asks the questions that go to people's heart brain, their gut brain, not their ego brain.
Yeah.
And when you're scrolling constantly because of so much noise out there, what I have found is that people will find what their ego brain wants to hear, not necessarily their heart brain. They're going to scroll right past the things that they actually need to hear.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think people's heart brains need to hear?
I think what people's heart brains need to hear more of is their worthiness, their love, is the fact that you're not a human doing, you are a human being.
Yeah.
And to go back to what is most important, like you were saying earlier, when you, the exact, what you journaled is what people, everybody needs to hear.
Mm.
So there you go. Like truly, they need to go back to what is most important to you? Because we don't value peace enough. We don't value silence enough. We don't value nature enough. We don't value groundedness enough. We value, and what we find in abundance to be like, quote, I feel like in society, it's the material items, not the experiences. And it's the experiences of being like we are right now, this relationship.
Yeah.
It's being this.
Yeah.
Like this is the most beautiful thing that humans can have is the connection.
Absolutely. And
unfortunately, I feel like in this world, we're connected so much to the noise, to the material items, to the things versus the freedom and the peace that lies within each one of us.
Absolutely.
And I've done it too. I've chased the shiny things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It hasn't. It's in the, when you're chasing and you get exhausted and you realize, wait a second, what the hell am I doing? That you actually, it's like the car, right? Like you got to take those moments of pause.
And I think also some people, if you have experienced trauma in your childhood, but particularly if you do have a history of complex PTSD, CPTSD, most likely you've become so conditioned to chaos, disorder, tension, uncertainty, you know, fighting, arguing, guilt, shame, and all of that. So even though maybe as an adult, you may want peace, you want tranquility, and you want peace of mind, there might still be this unconscious or subconscious pullback to the familiar. And so what I try to help a lot of clients with is, you know, I've given it this title, the timeline reshaping meditation, where a lot of us feel stuck, right? Because I think a part of us is still stuck in our timeline where something really important happened, right? Or a defining moment or something so overwhelming that we didn't have the tools to process it. So we disassociated, we blocked it out, we checked out, we've kept it a secret, yet that part of you is still stuck and it needs you. It needs you. That inner child, that inner adolescent, that inner teenager, that young adult needs you to acknowledge that thing that happened. So energetically, not only can you release it, but you can bring that part of you that's stuck in time to come into the present moment with you. And so I think, you know, particularly for people who have experienced CPTSD, there are so many, you know, defining moments, traumatic moments that happen that it can feel overwhelming. And I think in that case, you know, just starting with, you know, one or two moments or ages, you know, like 7, 8, and sometimes it's just too much for people and they can't go there. And I respect that. But if you could just imagine just energetically, there was a part of you that still feels stuck, invalidated, unrecognized, or perhaps, you know, no one believed you, that you could take authority and accountability for your own well-being and stop trying to get other people to believe you. Stop trying to get other people to understand your perspective, whether it's in your family system or whatever circle that you were in. And you take accountability and authority over your healing. And you say, what happened was real. And it was terrible what happened. And it really hurt. And you couldn't deal with it back then. It was too much. And I understand how much pain you were in and how much pain you are still in. But you don't have to carry it anymore. It's real what happened. But I'm going to show you how to live. I'm going to show you how to feel safe. I'm going to show you what it feels like to feel valued and loved, because I'm going to give it to you. Because I know you so deeply. And I want to show you today what it feels like to be home inside your body, to feel cherished, to feel valued. We're going to do this together. When you can do that to yourself and break free from those self-limiting beliefs and the hauntingness that sometimes comes with those memories, and you take accountability and authority for that, you release yourself from limbo. You free yourself. And I think you create this sense of buoyancy that can help you really start to then embrace and invite tranquility and peace, even though it might be scary, because it's new.
Do you find that some people are in limbo more than others because of that, because of their trauma?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I worked with a shaman long time ago in Phoenix, Arizona. I was 23 at the time. I was just getting into like spirituality and metaphysics and all of that. And I remember he had told me, you know, there's parts of our souls that get split off. I said, soul, what? Split what? He goes, and I understood it from a Jungian psychoanalytic perspective, that sometimes we have parts of our, you know, personalities that can split off. But I was still young in the Jungian studies, so I didn't really understand what it meant. But when he described it as a part of your soul splitting, it's like, when you have something so shocking and overwhelming for the psyche, body, and mind that happens, you know, a part of your soul splits off because of that shock, and it can stay energetically stuck in that time. And then we keep moving on. And there's a reason why a lot of people have blocked out their childhood. There's a reason why a lot of people don't want to remember or can't remember, because the nervous system still couldn't back then process it and might still be so afraid to process it. But as we grow older, there's this continuation of feeling more stuck and more stuck because parts of your soul have split off, or psyche, or, you know, let's just say just a part of your energy still is fragmented. And the way that the shaman described it is like, you can go back, you know, and energetically, you know, bring awareness and attention to what happened. And you can call that person, that part of you, call that person back. You can do it therapeutically too. You know, imagining it's your inner child, you could take a photo or just, remember, you know, what you might've looked like or where you were living, and acknowledge, you know, what happened. But also you can bring your adult self back into that space and you observe what was happening and extend the awareness to your inner child. I'm here. I am you from the future. I'm here to validate what happened. You didn't make it up. This was a terrible thing, or this hurt, or this was a painful thing. I know it was really scary for you. You could provide other wisdom, you know, let your little child or adolescent or teenager know, I'm here for you. And you don't have to stay stuck here. I want to bring you to where I am in my life because we've grown so much. We've seen so much. And most of all, I want to give you what you needed so much back then. You needed to feel safe. You needed to feel a sense of belonging. You needed to feel seen and heard. And I know how hard it was because you weren't getting it back then. And I know you're still trying to figure out a way to survive, but I'm going to bring you to where I am right now because I can help you feel safe and I can give you that sense of belonging. And when you connect your adult self, who you are today, with that younger version, and you bring those energies together, you start to feel more whole. Energetically, you start to feel like you literally have more energy. And I think in relationships, you can show up more fully and you start projecting less onto your partner. You'll still do it. We still project. But I think it just happens less and you're more conscious of it when you do it.
Wow. Yes, 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 yes. This makes complete sense. It makes complete sense. So where are you at with everything in terms of your limbo space and bringing all of those versions of yourself forward?
Yeah.
Miami, Sylvia, yeah. Like, I mean, all of it. Where are you at right now in terms of it?
I think I'm still in the deep healing process in my relationship with my dad. I think a big chunk of my energy was still, and maybe still is in a way, like waiting for his approval. And I think, you know, still waiting for him to realize the impact that his choices had on my life, or realize, or even sometimes just the positive part, like, you know, me wanting him to feel more peace and to be more grateful, or, you know, whatever it is that I've been wanting so much. I think so much of my focus has been on him energetically, either trying to rescue him, save him, or there's a part of me energetically drained by still feeling disappointed, sad, hurt, blah, 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 blah. And so I think just turning inward, and what I was still and probably still am seeking from my dad, realizing I can turn that direction. I guess that I can turn my attention back to me and saying, I am the adult that is able to provide that little girl what she needed. I'm finally getting to the place in my life at 45, accepting my dad for who he is, because I still secretly was trying to create him to be who I needed him to be.
Yeah.
And so I think in that phase now that I'm starting to, you know, if I'm at the gym, sometimes I'll, you know, I might get a memory or something. I say, okay, in this moment, I'm going to turn towards that little girl and talk to her. Or, you know, in these moments of limbo, if I start getting very negative with my thoughts, I stop and I say, hey, I'm the adult here. You don't have to keep talking to yourself like that. There's another way. And I'm going to show you how, because my father used to be very critical. He is still very critical. So, you know, really taking authority and accountability and responsibility for my own reparenting, and working on that inner voice and that inner critic, and just, I guess, responding to my memories and flashbacks in a different way. And I think I'm still leaning into the journal. I'm still journaling, you know, in the morning. My husband made a joke. He's like, yeah, put it in the journal that I still have a cough that hasn't gone away. And, you know, maybe you could ask God to help me, you know, get over this cough thing. So he jokes about it. But anyways, so I think just still leaning into the wisdom that is there. And I think just leaning also into the unknown, that trusting, like, okay. Cause, oh, last thing, I was putting together this new camera equipment and I couldn't figure it out. And I got so frustrated and I started, this was, actually last week on Thursday, I start crying and I scream out. I was like, God, I don't know what you want from me. I'm invested in this equipment. Why are you doing it? And then I like plugged it in and then it started working. And I was like, oh. So I think I'm still in my fighting God universe phase, where I have faith. I'm like, I'm following this path, even though I feel clumsy and I'm tripping and I feel alone and I don't know if it's even going to turn out to be anything, but I'm clumsily and faithfully still following this weird thing that I follow inside of me. And that's it. That's where I am. Still fighting.
Love it. I so relate to this in so many ways. I love it. And, you know, and I think that that's also where the magic lies, right? Like that's where you start to find all these other things that you've also didn't know that you could do.
Yeah.
And is there anything more beautiful than that? The gifts will be handed. If so tell me, I on a personal note, I do want to know, how is the book proposal coming? Because that was like writing my book proposal might have been one of the most difficult things I ever went through.
Yes. Well, you know, I finished it. The hardest part is I finished it a year and a half ago. We had two publishers look at it, and one said no, and one said maybe no. But if you put it, if you put your course online and get feedback, come back to us. And I just haven't been able to, I don't know what my block is, but the whole online course thing, maybe it's the aversion to like selling and all of this. So I just decided to upload videos for free on YouTube that shows my curriculum. But this kind of commercialized, you know, do the courses, sell this, sell this, sell that, and then we'll consider. So that may not be my path, then I think I'm to the point where I've updated it. I'm going to give it back to the literary agent. If no one wants to publish it, then I'll publish it myself.
What is the book about? Tell us.
It's called Lonely AF. Mm-hmm. It's a roadmap to connecting to self and others. And I think at first it was a little bit broad, but now that I've realized what's different about this book on loneliness than others is I'm bringing my family, you know, therapy perspective. My PhD in family therapy is really coming in saying, okay, let's look at our family system. Let's look at this systemically, how loneliness has been within your family within three generations. But let's also take accountability for your part. You're not going to be able to heal your family, but what you can do is start the healing on yourself. So this timeline reshaping meditation is in the book. Learning other tools of how to, you know, reprogram your subconscious mind to, you know, first take inventory. What are your self-limiting beliefs? How have you been almost, you know, being a participant in your own loneliness? And so you really start with yourself, breaking down both like kind of like the family systemic part, but also a little bit, I think, of the spiritual part as well. And then, okay, what do you want your life to look like with you, you know, with being the architect and the designer of your life now, you know, what is your preferred story? Going back to discovering what your values are, what is important to you? Because most people sometimes have been told by their family what's important to them or by society or culture, and they don't really know what's important to them. So really becoming clear what your values are. So instead of a vision board, I suggest a value board, creating a board with values, you know, honesty, trust, adventure, intimacy, connection, community, no more of the Rolex and the Tahiti vacation and the yacht and the $1 million. No, values. What's important? Because even if you become the multimillionaire or billionaire, if you don't have a life that's based on your values, what's important to you, then you're living an empty life that feels insatiable. You could have your house in Tahiti and your house in Aspen and your house in LA, but if it's not connected to what's important to you, it's not, I don't find it a life worth living. It feels empty.
Yeah.
So having that value board, I think, is really important. So then creating, it's really, I think, connecting back to self. And once you create that connection through healing the inner child, you know, detriangulating yourself from, you know, your own family drama triangles, taking accountability, responsibility for your own healing and the story that you're telling yourself about yourself. When you've made all those connections and you've created that foundation for the connection to yourself and your healing, then you can extend that to your community and share that with the relationships that are important to you. And then really, I think, benefit from the connection that you have with yourself, but also the deeper connection that you'll have with others.
That's amazing. Well, and that's going to circle back into then when you are in limbo, you're not lonely because you know who you are and you're there with you.
Yeah. And it's an invitation to get to know who you truly are and what's really important to you. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it takes limbo and to quiet the noise to find that.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. Well, I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
There you go. There you go.
I'm letting go of the timeline. So when it is available, you will read it.
Oh, I cannot wait. It will be amazing. It will be amazing. Well, this has been incredible. As always, this yes. has been incredible.
Time flies with you on Time these flies. Podcasts.
All of a sudden I looked up and I'm like, no way. How is it an hour? What happened? So give us one last anything that you would like what would you like to leave our listeners with? What bit of information post this hour would you like to share with them? This being your stage.
Thank you. Well, I would love for you who is listening right now, just to take a deep breath, inhaling in through your nose, and then make a big ha sound as you exhale out. And I invite you just to take a moment to connect to your own breath and connect to your energy. And if you don't like the whole breathing thing, just take a moment and imagine that you're just going inside your heart. And I want you to just take a moment and to quiet all the noise. And just take a moment to say this right after me. I am worthy. And say it out loud. I am worthy. I don't have to work hard to be loved or to have value. I don't have to work so hard to be loved or have value. And whatever comes up when you hear those words, acknowledge it, whether you resist it or accept it. And just take a moment and imagine yourself as a child. Could be 5, 6, 7, 8. Think of yourself as a young child, even though if it might be painful or not. Just take a moment to imagine your younger self right next to you. And I invite you to extend all of your compassion and all of your love and all of your respect for you as a young child, for everything that you went through, for the resilience that you had to survive what you survived. I would love for you to extend deep compassion for the things that you had to see or hear, or for the things that felt too much to hear or see. And take a moment to acknowledge everything that you as a child went through, what you saw, what you felt, what you had to keep a secret, to validate all of that. And if no one else has acknowledged what you went through, take this moment and acknowledge it for yourself. And if your inner child allows it, imagine you extending the warmest, most loving, most nurturing hug to yourself, to your inner child, hugging and nurturing your inner child. And let that little version of yourself know, you are safe with me now. You don't have to stay stuck back here anymore. Come with me. I want to show you a world where you can feel safe, where you can feel loved, where you can feel heard, where you can feel respected, and you can feel a deep sense of belonging. I am going to take care of you now in a way that no one could before. Just take a moment to imagine anything else that you would let your inner child know. Something personal from your heart. Take a moment to share it quietly in your head with that younger version of yourself. And then register that with a slow inhale into your nose and a very gentle exhale out. And if your eyes are closed, you can gently open them. Take a look around your room. Notice 3 colors. Notice 3 objects. And notice 1 sound. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. It's so wonderful to connect to you and to connect to all the people that are hearing this. And I just hope that all those inner children can feel safe and loved, and that people can feel less stuck and less alone and feel energized again to show up fully and boldly in their lives.
Yes. Yes. I appreciate you. Thank you. Where can people find you?
On Instagram at Dr. Sylvia K, that's spelled DrSylviA, the letter K. I also started a YouTube channel, so I would love for new subscribers. It's Grow Through This, spelled GROW, and then Through is spelled different, THRU, this, THIS. So Grow Through This with Dr. Sylvia K, that's my YouTube channel. And I do have a podcast that I have abandoned, but I'm editing a new episode. So I have a podcast called The Dr. Sylvia K Show on Spotify and Apple. So there's probably, I think, like 10 episodes. But
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. So I'm editing a story that I just recorded last week when I was fighting with God and my equipment. And so I will have that uploaded on The Dr. Sylvia K Show on Spotify or Apple.
That's amazing. Oh, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Come back on again sometime.
Yes, awesome. Please. And I'm excited for your new chapter. And I can't wait to hear who shows up for the June Grand Canyon retreat. And also, I just can't wait to hear what is coming next, what this next chapter is going to look like and feel like.
There's a lot of good stuff, and it's juicy and amazing and magical. And I'm super happy. I've never been happier, which is
feels, you know, good. It feels so good to hear that.
Feels so good to be in the space.
Yeah.
Dr. Edith Eger always says, we all walk through the valley of darkness. Don't set up camp there. And we have to continue to take those steps because there is so much beauty on the other side.
Absolutely.
The car. That's going to be my new thing. Be the car.
Be the car.
Be the car.
And you got to let go for the car to move forward.
Let go. You got to let go. So good. Well, thank you so much. Good. Until next time.
Okay.
I appreciate you. And thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Live Boldly podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm grateful to have you here. I believe in you. I believe in us and always will. Life can get hard, but I promise you on the other side, it's glorious. I'd love to invite you over to sarahshultonkranz.com to receive 5 free meditations recorded by me or download your free guide on how nature is your perfect healing therapy. My site has many free resources to guide you on your life journey, many that I used myself while on my road from victim to thriver. And also, please, I ask that you share my podcast with those who may need inspiration, information, or who need to hear from others going through where they are right now. To grow this podcast, please leave an iTunes review. View and subscribe. Go find it on other platforms such as iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please also go to my Instagram or Facebook page, leave a message in my comments, and tell me what you think of this episode. Please share in your stories and tag me. I'd love to reshare and celebrate your healing journey. I love hearing from each one of you. Let's keep the ripple going. It begins with each one of us. I love you and have a great day.